Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here this morning. And Father, we lift up all those that are sick, Lord, those that are in the hospital, those that are at home this morning that are battling different things, Father. We just lift them up to You and we pray for healing in their lives. Father, I pray now that as we study Your Word, that there'd be healing in our lives, Lord, spiritual healing. That You would reveal to us areas in our lives that we need to repent, areas in our life that we need to change. Lord, areas in our life that we need to listen to Your Holy Spirit. Father, may You guide every word spoken here now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So what I'd like to talk to you all about is the verse that I ended with last week and about self-control. Starting a new year, some of y'all may have made New Year's resolutions, some of you may haven't, and some of you may have already broke your New Year's resolution. Some of you may be like me, it's not starting until Monday, you know, and so, but in all those things, what's something that we all need is self-control. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity." King James Version says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." And I think it's interesting that King James, for self-discipline, uses sound mind. We talked a lot, it seems like I bring it up a lot, about taking every thought captive. And so to have that sound mind, where does discipline begin at? It begins with your thought process. It begins with what you're meditating on, what you're thinking about, or what you should be thinking about. And so to have the discipline that we need, it all begins with a sound mind. And so as I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about self-control, and I don't know about y'all, but I need self-control in a lot of areas of my life. And so as I'm thinking about that, and you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I talked about joy, and it's a fruit of the Spirit. But do you know self-control is also a fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy," we talked about joy, "peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." These are signs that Christ is in you. And I talked about that when I was talking about joy and a lack of joy, that something must be hindering the Holy Spirit in your life, whether it's sin or rebellion or whatever it is, that there's something hindering the Holy Spirit in your life when you have no joy. That was a couple weeks ago. Well, I also want to say, well, what about self-control? How many of you have good self-control? See, I know guys that, when we would go to the truck driving championship, and there's a lot of high corporate people there, and it was always amazing to me to watch these corporate guys. Now, it's not every case, and when I say stuff, it's not painting a brush over everybody, but, you know, some of our VPs and big shots, when we'd be getting up to go down to breakfast, I'd be seeing them coming in from a run. They were up 5 o'clock in the morning out running. They lived a disciplined life, and it was reflected in the success that they were in their businesses, and it was reflected in the way that they treated their body, what they ate, what they took in. They were very self-disciplined people. And I just find it interesting that a lot of those high ups, I would see them exercising, I would see them running, I would see them doing things like that. And so, but for us as Christians, self-control ought to be a fruit of the Spirit. It ought to be something that is being bore out of us by the working of the Holy Spirit. And what happens when you lack self-control? You get in trouble, right? I was teasing, I don't remember if it was New Year's Day or I think it was New Year's Day. I said, I might have to wear my pajama bottoms to church on Sunday because I'm not going to be able to fit in any of my pants because I've been eating so much on this holiday. I have not had self-control when it comes to Christmas cookies and fudge and all those things. It's like, man, you know, and so that's why my New Year's resolution starts tomorrow. but that self-control, and when you lack self-control, you can get into a trouble real quick. I want to go back to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And y'all, I told Crystal after preparing this message, I said, really, I could talk about self-control for probably the next 2 months. But I'm just going to highlight real quick the three or four things that the Lord brought to my mind with where we need self-control. 2 Samuel 11, and this is David and Bathsheba, and it's a familiar story, but we're just going to hit the highlights here, okay? 11:1, 2 Samuel. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. Where was David supposed to be? Out to war. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. You know, sometimes when I get done preaching, I really beat myself up. Why did I say this? Why did I say that? And last week I was talking about the difference in generations and ages, and I was talking about seeing the difference in me, and I don't feel like I'm that old, but I'm getting there, and the younger generation and calling in sick and missing work, and they don't think it's a big deal. But after I left, and I thought, you know, that really sounded arrogant of myself, and I began to beat myself up about it. Because, y'all, I look at the older generation for me, and I don't work like them. I know the older generation, they'd sign up for overtime. They'd work Saturdays. They'd work every chance they'd get. That's not me. I work 4-10s. And you know what? If they ask me if I want to go home early, a lot of times I don't have self-control and I go home early. I'm not perfect. And then I begin to get beat up. Why did I even say that? Why did it, you know? When you're not where you're supposed to be, King David wasn't where he was supposed to be. And I guess why I'm bringing this up is not only did I beat myself up this week about it, but also sometimes you should be at work and you're not, and you get in trouble. You have nobody around to hold you accountable. You have nobody there checking on you. You're just not where you're supposed to be. King David wasn't where he was supposed to be. In verse 2, it says, one evening David got up from his bed and walking around on the roof of the palace. From the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, isn't that Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Okay, so right there, David should have been out to war. He's walking around on the roof. He sees a beautiful woman. He doesn't turn away. Obviously, he looks a little too long. So he's trying to find out who this woman is. And then, oh, that's Uriah the Hittite's wife. Right there, another stop sign. David, you should stop. You should stop. Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him and he slept with her. She had purified herself from the uncleanliness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, I'm pregnant. Uh-oh. We all know the story, what happens. He tries to get Uriah to come home and sleep with his wife. Uriah doesn't. Then he sends Uriah to the front lines to be killed. And David gets in a mess. Where did it all begin? He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He didn't have enough self-discipline to look away. Then he didn't have enough self-discipline when he found out it was another man's wife to stop himself. And it snowballed, didn't it? And it kept going and it kept going. And you, Matthew 6:22-23 says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Men, women, we got to guard our eyes. We need to be self-disciplined enough to not look at things that we don't need to look at. Whether you're flipping through channels on the television and you stop. Whether you're driving down the street and you're looking at new cars. I told y'all when I was 16, 17, 18, I don't remember how old exactly I was now, and I rear-ended a truck. Why? Because I was looking at a new car lot, admiring a new truck, and me and Crystal was on the interstate yesterday, and I look over at a new truck, and I kind of hit the button, and she's like, Pete, keep your eyes on the road. Quit looking at those new trucks. What am I doing? My eyes are where they shouldn't be. The eye is the lamp of the body, of the heart, of the soul. We need to guard our eyes. David should have guarded his eyes. Job 31:1 says, I make a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. You think about that, making a covenant with your eyes to not look lustfully. That can be so many different things, y'all. Not just lustfully at a woman, not just lustfully at a man, but lustfully at things, lustfully at houses, lustfully at the newest clothes, the newest jewelry, whatever. Why don't we make a covenant right now and say, I'm going to stop that in this new year. I'm going to be disciplined enough to maybe be happy for someone if they get that new vehicle, to be happy for someone if they've remodeled their house, to be happy for them, but I'm not going to look lustfully at it. I don't need it. I don't want it. It's not something that I have to have. I saw a headline this week that says, the fashion world has said what the colors of this year are going to be. So you know what? That means some people sitting up in a corporate office and they're saying, these are going to be the colors that we're going to push this year. And you know what? Most people in America are going to say, I got to get this outfit, I got to get that, I got to get this, and I got to get that. Why? Because some men are sitting in an office, some women are sitting in an office saying, you need this if you want to be popular, you need this if you want to be liked, you need this if you want to be beautiful. We need to guard our eyes, see what we're looking at. We know what David does here. Go over to chapter 12, verse 7. David sends Uriah to the front lines to be killed. Then Nathan says to David, you are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hands of Saul. I gave you your master's house to you, and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. That's amazing to me to think God saying, I would have even given you more after He had blessed David so much. And you know what? In our lives, I wonder how many blessings are we missing out on because we're doing the wrong things, because we're not self-controlled, because we're looking lustfully at other stuff instead of our Lord who should be our provider. Verse 9, why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in His eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. And when I was reading this and I thought about, have you ever known somebody that seemed like they had everything, had the perfect life maybe from the outside, and then they go and have an affair. They leave their spouse for a coworker. They see something and they just mess everything up. Have y'all ever known anybody like that? David, he had everything, and God says, I would have given you even more. And we're not going to stay here because, like I said, I could do a whole sermon on each one. But I want to challenge you this morning to be careful what you're looking at, to have enough self-control and discipline in your life to not look lustfully at the things of this world, whether it's sexually or whether it's materialism or whatever it is. Don't mess up your life, because you know what? It's easy to say that sometimes about you've known somebody that's left their husband, left their wife, and they had a great family, and all at once they've destroyed everything because they saw something that they thought looked better. But you know, sorry, I know people that have done that with money, with their finances too. They want. And they go and max out their credit cards, and then that messes up their home. I know people that's done that with the casino. They want, and they drain their bank accounts, and they end up losing their house. I know several people that have done that. Why? Because they're looking lustfully at what others have, and they want it. And they lose control. We need to be self-controlled in so many areas. I want you to think just a minute. What do you need more self-control in? Maybe going to bed at night. Does anybody ever stay up too late? You know, last night, because this week I've been on vacation, I'm all messed up. I'm staying up late. I'm sleeping in late. I'm all messed up. And last night I told Crystal, midnight, I'm everything's turning off and I'm going to sleep. Some of y'all is going, midnight? That's early for how late I've been staying up. And then Hayden gets home at midnight and comes in and starts talking to us and talks to us for 45 minutes. So I'm still wide awake there. And but the discipline of knowing when to go to bed, the discipline of knowing when to get up. Young man that just became the youth minister at Huntington Assembly was telling me this week that he's going to really try every day to get up at 6 o'clock and read his Bible and start off the day in prayer and reading and studying, and he's going to try and be disciplined to do that. Discipline and knowing when to turn off the entertainment, when to open up our Bible. There's so many areas in our life that we need self-control, that we need discipline. But another area I want to go to is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I've got a bunch of bookmarks here, so it's going to take me just a second to get there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And another area that I think that a good highlight for us to start off the year is food, okay? Being disciplined in the food that we eat, how much we eat, what kinds of food we eat. 1 Corinthians 6, 12 and 13 says, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for the food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." So what that saying is, you know, I don't want to go too much into it, but when you're giving thanks for food, you know, and truly giving thanks, God can bless that, and we can eat it. But is everything really good to eat? Should we be eating what all we eat? No. No, not everything is good for us. Not everything we should be eating. And definitely for Pete, I need to begin to eat in moderation, even what I eat. Okay? And, I hate vegetables. I do. I don't like vegetables at all. But what's the best thing for me? Vegetables. So I need to become disciplined enough to eat those vegetables. I need to become disciplined enough to know when to stop. I've told y'all several times, I don't hardly go to buffets anymore. You know why? Because I want to get my money's worth, and I don't know when to stop, and I want to keep going, and I want to keep going. And y'all, it says, I will not be mastered by anything. But how many of us are mastered by our stomachs? How many of us, you know, you wake up, you have to have your breakfast. At lunchtime, you have to have your lunch. You get home, you got to have your dinner right there. Yeah, I do. I'm grouchy. If I call Crystal when I'm leaving work, and I'm ready to eat when I walk in the door. I mean, I'm not lying. I'm so hungry. I'm ready to eat, you know. And then I got to have a snack before I go to bed. And it's just, you know, one thing after another. And then before long, I'm wearing pajamas to preach in because I can't fit in anything, okay? But I will not be mastered by anything. But how many of us are mastered by food? Proverbs 25, 27, and 28 says, it is not good to eat too much honey, nor is it honorable to seek one's own honor. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. Did any of y'all get your favorite foods over Christmas? Yeah. Did any of y'all overeat over Christmas? Yeah. Honey is not evil. There's nothing wrong with honey. But eating too much of it, and you're going to get sick. Eating too much. We went and to my mom's house last night, and I wanted some really good pizza before I start tomorrow being good. And so we went by Gassano's and got their deep dish pizza. Oh, my goodness, it's good. Y'all, I ate 3 pieces of pizza, and I was stuffed. And we brought some pizza home to the kids. And about 10 o'clock, though, you know what? I was sitting there thinking, I sure would like another slice of pizza. Was I really hungry? No. But it just tastes so dang good that I wanted more. I wanted more. I wanted more. What's mastering me there? What's mastering me? The flesh. My stomach. But I'm not supposed to be mastered by anything other than the Holy Spirit. I'm supposed to have self-control. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be in charge. Luckily, Hayden had the pizza with him, and he'd went over to hang out with Keaton and them. And so I couldn't eat one more piece of pizza because it wasn't in the house, or I probably would have. So then I'm up eating a couple Reese's cups and this and that. And it's like, I'm trying to do all this, and it's like, what is wrong with me? Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. You think you're good? You think you're okay? You don't have a problem with food? Philippians 3:18, he says, "For as I have often told you before, and now say even again with tears in my eyes, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things." I think for many of us, our God is our stomach. It rules us. What we want to eat, when we're going to eat, how much we're going to eat. God, we need self-control. We need to stop. And for some of you, you may say, you know what? I don't struggle with food. It's not a problem for me. I don't have that problem. But then we begin to judge people who might have that problem. Can you believe how much so-and-so ate? Can you see how fat Pete's getting? Can you believe this? Can you believe that? And then you're judging them going, well, I don't have a problem. I can stop that. But then I know other people that have a problem with going to the gym too much. Well, how is that a problem? It can be a problem. My brother-in-law Travis goes to the gym up in Fort Smith, and he was talking about how different people are now. He said, they don't care if you're standing there or not. He said, all these guys are sitting there working out in the mirror, and then they got their camera taking pictures, and they're working out, and they're taking pictures of themselves, and they don't care who's looking. It's like, I would feel so embarrassed taking a picture of myself while I'm sitting there flexing, you know? But it's a thing where you're all of us struggle in different areas, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Don't judge somebody if they struggle with food. And that's not your struggle. But where is your struggle? Is your struggle with vanity? Is your struggle with working out too much? Is your struggle with entertainment, with reading too many books, watching too many movies? Where's your struggle at? We're not looking around at everybody else this morning. It's where do you struggle? My struggle is food. I'm not going to lie to you. And it's a struggle sometimes to say, when's enough enough? When do I stop? I'm excessive on everything from what I drink. Used to drink Mountain Dew all the time. Now I've switched to Diet Mountain Dew all the time. And it would be embarrassing if I told y'all how much Diet Mountain Dew I drink every day. And my wife probably don't even know how much Diet Mountain Dew I drink every day, or I'd be in trouble with her. I've just got that type of personality. I want more, and I want more, and I want more. What's your struggle this morning? Romans 14:13 says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on others. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about preachers that I know and people that I know, and boy, we're real quick to call out the alcoholic. We're real quick to call out the pill head while we're sitting there all bloated up because we've ate too much. We all have different struggles in different areas. The thing is are we going to say enough's enough? God, I want to be so full of your Holy Spirit and you in control of my life. Whether it's alcohol, whether it's pills, whether it's the buffet, whether it's entertainment, whatever it is, I'm not looking at anybody else, and I don't want to be a stumbling block for anybody else, because they can look at the preacher and they can look at you. Even though you're not a preacher, you claim to be a child of God, you claim to be a Christian, and they're your coworkers, they're your peers. They're looking at your life and they're saying, well, he does it, she does it, I guess it's okay. I don't want to be a stumbling block for anybody. The last one that I want to talk about here, and I didn't wear my watch, I don't have my phone, but self-control with our tongue. Okay? So we've talked about the lust of the flesh with the eyes, David. We've talked about overeating and the I'll not be mastered by anything. And so now maybe this is an area that might hit you. It's with our tongue. It's how many of us with our tongue we talk and we talk and we talk and we don't know when to quit. James 1:26 says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. That's a scary, scary verse to me. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. You know, maybe some of us, we need some self-control with just shutting our mouths. With not saying that good cut down, with not saying that joke, with not making fun of that person, with not correcting that person. You know what? I figured out that it's okay to not tell somebody that they're wrong. You know that? It really is. It's okay to not always have to be right. It's okay. It's okay to let some stuff go sometimes. Why do we argue? Why do we get in these fights? Why do we, you know, one of the biggest hot buttons, what? Politics. You want to talk about politics with somebody? You could probably walk into CVs and find 10 people in there and find 10 different opinions on what they think is right and wrong. And you know what? You arguing with them for 10 hours on Facebook ain't changing their mind. And it's not going to change your mind either, right? But why do we argue? Why don't we just learn to and let the Holy Spirit have control? You say what you're supposed to say, when you're supposed to say it, and then you stop. I think pride is a lot of it because we want to prove something instead of just laying down and saying, God, you have control. You have control with my words that I speak, with my actions of my life. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Y'all, I'm a blabbermouth. I always have been a blabbermouth. But the older I get, the more God's teaching me to just be quiet, Pete. Even if there's that awkward silence, if you don't have anything good to say, then why are we even talking? Why does it even need to be said? It's okay to be quiet. See, that's something I've had to learn. Some of you already know that. I've been around some of y'all. Some of y'all's okay with being quiet, and it doesn't bother you. Me, it bothers me. I'm having to learn that, to just learn to be quiet sometimes. 2 Timothy 3, it talks about the last days. We've talked about this a lot. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. You see that happening? Lovers of money. Welcome to America. Boastful. Huh. Even when we don't want to be, sometimes we're boastful. Proud. Abusive. Disobedient to their parents. Y'all been in a McDonald's? Or a Walmart and seeing how disobedient kids are these days. And I'm not just talking about little kids, I'm talking about teenagers. The lack of respect for their parents. Ungrateful. You know, I think we're so spoiled these days that Christmas, holidays, birthdays, when you're given stuff, we've almost come to expect it. We're not even grateful anymore. Unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Y'all, that last verse I really wanted to read because it says, this is what the end times are going to look like. This is what it's going to be. And people's going to have a form of godliness but deny the power. But I'm here to tell you there's power. There's power in the Holy Spirit. There's power in God that we can have self-control. We can be full of the fruit of the Spirit. We can be full of the joy, the kindness, the patience, the gentleness, the faithfulness. We can be full of all that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't deny God's power and say, well, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I just can't do this. I can't quit that. I can't give up TV. I can't give up pizza. I can't give up my beer. I can't give up whatever it is. And I can't quit gossiping. I can't quit talking about people. I come from a long line of it. And we say we're children of God, but we deny the power of God, that the power of God can give us that self-control, can make us truly grateful, can make us truly full of love. 1 Corinthians, the end of 19 into 20, it says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Church, you're not your own anymore. If you're a child of God, you were bought with a price. Honor God with your body. Titus chapter 2. Go ahead and flip there, because I'm going to read quite a bit here. Like I said, I didn't wear my watch in. Hey, you know what? The last two or three Sundays, y'all been out 15 minutes early almost every Sunday. So I have no idea what time it is. So if you go over a little bit today, it's okay. But this in Titus is so amazing how many times self-control is mentioned. Okay? Titus 2, chapter 2, verse 1. It says, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith and love and endurance. You know what? The older men need to be taught that. You would think, well, they've lived to be long. They've had long lives. They should know this. But no, sometimes we still need to teach it. So to remind you, older men, self-control. Verse 3, likewise teach the older women to be reverent in the way that they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Older women, self-control. And I like how that's saying, so that you can teach the younger women how to act. You know what? We think, well, nobody wants to hear what I have to say. But they're looking at your life. They're looking at the way that you live. That's a way that you're teaching also. Verse 6, simply encourage the young men to be self-controlled. Young men, self-control. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. You know what? Controlling our tongue, the soundness of speech. Some of us need to quit. We need to quit with the comments. We need to quit with the funny little things that we say. Is everything that you say can't be condemned? Or could someone be critical of you? Could someone say, you said this or you said that? I've had to learn that the hard way. And you know what? Sometimes even things that you say in a text or in a certain way, and people can misconstrue it and twist it all around. So we need to be so careful with what we're saying. Soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. So that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about you. Is that you? I can't say that yet, but I hope to be there soon. That I live such a life that no one can look back and say, you know, Pete did this, Pete acted that way, Pete was angry, Pete was selfish. He was only looking out for himself. Verse 9, teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them and to not steal from them, but show them that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us, okay? The grace of God, what has Tim taught ever since he's been here? grace and the divine influence. So the divine influence of God upon our lives, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. A lot of the things that I've talked about today, what is it? It's ungodliness and it's worldly passions. It's the things of this world that draw us in and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the presence of this age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. In this new year, are you eager to do what is good? Are you eager to change? This morning, maybe you're sitting there going, I don't really have a problem with anything. Maybe you need to pray. And if you don't, praise God. Praise God. But I'm not there yet. And I've got areas in my life that I need to work on. And I need self-control in so many areas of my life. And I need the fruit of the Holy Spirit welling up inside of me so that I can be everything that God wants me to be. We're going to end with this, 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been ineffective, if you've been unproductive, if you feel like 2020 was a lost year, 2021 is here. It's a new year. It's a new day. And y'all, if your walk with God hasn't been what you thought it should be, it says, to increase in these qualities and add them to your life. Add to your goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness. Don't stop, y'all. Don't stop. Love. And watch and see what God can do with your life this year. I don't want to be standing up here a year from this day and still be battling the same struggles that I'm battling right now. I don't. How great would it be if we all came next year, a year from today, and say, wow, look what the Lord has done. Look at how different my life is because I decided to give God control. Because I decided to submit to Him. Because I decided to do what He's told me to do. Because I heeded what the Holy Spirit says. The Holy Spirit may be saying, it's time to start going to bed earlier. The Holy Spirit might be saying it's time to get up earlier. The Holy Spirit might be saying it's time to eat differently. The Holy Spirit might be saying it's time to shut off social media, to turn off the news. Whatever the Holy Spirit's saying to you this morning, I know what the Holy Spirit's saying to me this morning. It's time to take action. And I mentioned to y'all at the beginning that next Sunday we're going to start a fast. And I would encourage you to pray this week. A fast, you know, for our day and age, to me, it can mean so many different things. Because whatever you're struggling with, whatever has precedence in your life, might be the very thing that you need to cut out. And you need to give God control of. So I encourage you to pray this week. Ask the Lord. Don't ask me. I'm not going to tell you what you need to fast from. Pray and ask the Lord, and do it because you want to be closer to God, not because everybody in the church is doing it, but do it because you say, God, this area of my life, it has too much control over me. I will not be mastered by anything. What's mastering you today? If it's not the Holy Spirit, it's time to let the Holy Spirit take control. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray that the people here this morning, the people that will watch this on the video at home, Lord, that they're not hearing Pete talk this morning, but that they're hearing from You. Holy Spirit, I pray that right now You'd be reaching into each and every heart in this room. Lord, that You'd be showing us the areas of our life that we lack self-control. Lord, that we have not been disciplined. That we've not put aside the lustful actions or the words that we speak. Lord, that right now we would submit our lives to You fresh and new, Lord. That You'd take control of every area in each and every one of us. Lord, You know how many times I've stumbled. You know how many times I've fallen. Father, I pray that You'd forgive me. That You'd forgive us this morning for all the times that we've made the commitments. And within a few days, a few weeks, we go back. Father, I pray that we would learn from David. Where David wasn't where he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be out of on the battle lines, but he chose to stay home. But Father, that we would learn from that and that we would be obedient and listen to Your Holy Spirit and be where we're supposed to be, when we're supposed to be there, listening to Your voice at all times. That we would know when to say enough's enough. That we would truly become the disciplined people that we're called to be, that we were bought with a price. We no longer belong to ourselves, but may we be Your children now. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I free.
Encourage each one of you and tell you thank you for being here this morning. Does anybody have trouble getting to church on Sunday? Amen. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. It's so crazy how Sunday mornings, it seems like for me sometimes, it's even harder sometimes than Monday mornings to just get up and get going. I don't know what it is, so I want to thank you all for being here, and I want to encourage you to keep it up. Keep it up, because what does Satan do? He puts stumbling blocks in our way. He makes you tired. He makes you cough. He makes you feel whatever, and you just don't want to get out of bed. And so I don't want to bring condemnation upon anyone this morning for not being here, but I want to encourage y'all for this new year to be here. Be here and be expecting to hear from God when you come. And don't let Satan put any stumbling blocks in your way. We miss you when you're not here. We love you. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you. And those that aren't here this morning, we know some sick. We need to lift them up. We know some were probably just tired and stayed in bed. We need to lift them up too. We need to encourage each other. And so I encourage you in this new year to get committed. And you know what else you need to get committed to? Reading your Bible. If you struggle with that, anybody struggle with that? Sometimes I struggle with it. I really do. Y'all, there's some cool devotionals. There's some things that you can download on your phone. There's some things in your Bible, going through the Bible in a year, that will help you stay on track. If you need help, ask me. I'll send you some links. I'll get you some programs. Just something for a guideline. But this new year, stay in the Word. We need it. Y'all have a blessed day.